child I was told of Jesus' power to save. I called on Him and left Him in. Eternal life He gave. How blessed was I to hear His voice before my heart could stray. I stand today with no regret, with praise I must say. It has to be amazing grace that kept my life from sin. That same sweet grace that down through time has saved the vilest man. No righteousness nor good have I that I should glory in. Amazing grace has kept me from what I might have been. God's keeping grace, how sweet the sound that's kept a wretch like me. I could be lost, but I'm heaven bound. Only His grace made Him choose me. I thank Him for I've never had to reap a life of sin. But oh dear Lord, lest I forget, remind me once again. It has to be amazing grace that kept my life from sin. That same sweet grace that down through time has saved the vilest man. No righteousness nor good have I that I should glory in. Amazing grace has kept me from what I might have been. God's keeping grace has kept me from what I might have been.
It's wonderful. Thank you, folks, for the good song. Tonight, we're in 1 Kings. We're in 1 Kings tonight, Old Testament book. Find that scripture, 1 Kings. Go to the book of Psalms. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, go to the left a little ways. You'll come to 1 Kings. We're in chapter 19. Chapter 19 this evening, and we're going to be looking at the first four verses or so. We'll refer to some of the other verses, but we'll read the first four for our text passage tonight, 1 Kings 19th chapter. If you're able to stand and honor God's Word, let's do that together. And to follow along, why don't we read responsively tonight, verses 2 and 4. You read with me on the even verses, and I'll read 1 and 3. And the Scripture says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." I'm going to speak to you tonight on God's cure for depression. God's cure for depression. Father in heaven, would you help us this evening to be a blessing to the church? Your word is such an encouragement, such a help. Oh God, it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It enlightens us. It gives us wisdom. The entrance of your words giveth light, gives understanding to the simple. Oh God, would you tonight use your word as only you can to help your people at the time that they need it most. That might be now, might be down the road a ways, but I pray that the word will come back and be a help and a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Now, this is Elijah, you know, the great prophet of God, and it goes without saying, he was one of the most well-known of Israel's prophets, when you look at the time, the circumstances, if you will, happening in the life of the nation of Israel, Ahab and Jezebel ruling, and the Bible says, when the wicked rule, the people mourn. And that's what was happening, and the events of his ministry were just incredible, incredible. At this point in his ministry, he just saw fire fall from heaven. In a display of glaring certainty that his God, that Israel's God, was the only true and living God. I mean, the fire fell and consumed the stones that made up the altar, the wood on the altar, the sacrifice that was laid on the wood, and the water that drenched it all. Every little bit of it, the fire licked up everything. So it's all gone, okay? The people responded, and the false prophets were killed, and the rain came from heaven. All of that in one little short span of time on Mount Carmel. That just happened. Then you come to chapter 19. And Elijah gets a credible threat. That threat wasn't made by some disgruntled peasant. The threat came from a queen, the queen of Israel, Jezebel. And he took off. When he saw that, in verse 3, he ran for his life, went for his life. Came to Beersheba, left his servant there. And then he says in verse number 4, after he went a day's journey, he sat down and he requested for himself that he might die. And said, "It is enough now, O Lord." That's enough. "Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Now, what can you say about that, folks? How else can you describe Elijah's mental and emotional condition at this time, other than to say he was depressed? He was depressed. Now, you won't find the word depress or depression or depressed in the Bible. You won't find it there. But you do find this example of it, and there may be others in the Scripture as well. Depression, according to Webster's, the state of being pressed down. A low state, a sinking of the spirits, want of courage or animation, which is life. You're lacking that. Now, that pretty much sums up Elijah's condition here. I mean, the man requested death. He said, "Lord, take my life. It's enough. What you put on me to bear is more than I can handle. I'm done, so just take my life." Now, people, I'm convinced that some people's DNA is more prone to being depressed than others, but I believe with all my heart that every human is susceptible to it. And if you are less prone to it than somebody else, you better be careful in your judgment of somebody else who maybe is more prone to it. I don't believe I've ever experienced depression before. I'm not a great man of faith or anything like that. I'm no Elijah. I know that. It's just that my emotional and mental makeup are a little different in that area, and I don't believe I've ever experienced depression before till last Monday afternoon. Now, just being real transparent with you tonight, I didn't want to preach this, but I couldn't get away from it. I actually tried to preach a couple other messages, but it just didn't work. This is what the Lord wanted tonight, and I was exhausted. I laid down to take a nap in the afternoon. I didn't sleep. And then I didn't want to get up. Now, I'm human. There have been mornings when the alarm clock goes off and you say, "Oh, man, not now." You know what I'm saying? But that it was different. And if you've never been, and you know what? I'm going to confess, it's hard on the reputation, but it's good for the soul. I thought people were weak who experienced that until I experienced it last Monday. It was a darkness that was different than anything I'd ever experienced before. I didn't want to get up. I wanted to lay in that bed. And I'm thankful to God that I recognized it. I said, "Whoa, whoa. this is not good. I got too much going on to be depressed. And I don't think it, you know, I don't think it was dad's home going, because we prayed for it. We prayed for that. That was an answer to prayer. But yet at the same time, you say goodbye to your dad. Many of you have done that. And brother, it was Brother Gomez who texted me earlier, I think at the end of last week after dad's death on Friday, and he said, heard about your dad's home going. He said, the Angel family's been through a lot recently. He said, sometimes it comes in waves. And it seemed like that's what's happened. It's just come one wave after the other recently. And just, you know, and it's just all this emotional involvement. I'm hoping we get mom back in time for her to see dad. But just the emotion of everything. And I recognized it and I thought, well, this is not good. I've got way too much going on in my life to be depressed. Way too many people that count on me. I got a wife. I got a daughter at home who's excited about her wedding coming up. I got grandchildren. I got 5 children who are married to 5 wonderful spouses. I got a wonderful church, a church family that's counting on me, staff members. This can't happen. Can't happen. And my mind ran to this story. My mind ran to this event. I'm no Elijah. But folks, I don't think you have to be the magnitude of somebody in the Bible to go through what they went through a little bit. You don't have to be an Elijah to be depressed. And my mind ran to this passage, and I went back and looked at it carefully, and this incident in Elijah's life, and thankfully I've become familiar enough with some portions of the Bible in reading it, just reading it so consistently over the years, that I really kind of knew a lot of this in my mind, not verbatim, but enough to say to myself, God did this, 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 and this, and this. And here's what I want to tell you tonight. I am convinced that you don't have to medicate yourself out of depression if you're a child of God. Now, I would never tell anybody not to take medicine that the doctor has prescribed. I don't get into that. That could be a bad mistake. But folks, really, this book has so much help. And what I'm about to give you in this passage is so simple. It's so incredibly simple. And it's what God did for Elijah, God's cure for depression. And you know, you may not need all the things that God did for Elijah. It may be just one thing of the 5 that I'm going to show you tonight that God did for Elijah. And it's not going to be a long sermon. A couple of them are just very short points. But it could be that just one of the 5 things is what you need when you find yourself in that place where you... I remember a relative calling me, probably 15 to 20 years ago, and talking to me and saying, it was not a family member, it was a person that married into the family, and saying to me, my dad does not want to get out of bed. And his friends are having to come in, and this was a man who was extremely successful in business. Extremely successful. Sharp-minded man. A man that still had physical energy and health. And he said, I said, what's the problem? He said, he's depressed. And he won't get out of bed. And his friends have come over to the house, and some of the relatives out there where he lives, and tried to get him up and get him moving because depression had set in. And you know, shame on me. I remember thinking in my mind back then and have since then that that's weak. And I'm ashamed of that. Because it happens. It happens. And I found myself in that condition last Monday. And I'm not here tonight to ask for pity from the church. That is not the purpose of this message. The purpose of this message is there might be somebody else who needs this tonight. And you might need it down the road. You might be like I was. You might be thinking to yourself, that's weak. But when life comes at you in waves, it might catch you in the same wave. Okay? So what did God do here? Look at the things that God did for Elijah to snap him out of depression. And Elijah did. And he went on to finish his ministry with great success. Okay? But first of all, This is what God did for Eli. God gave him sleep. God gave him sleep. Look at verse number 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, then the angel touched him. And then at the end of verse number 6, he did eat and drink and laid him down again. He was physically exhausted. He was mentally drained. He was emotionally spent. And this man needed sleep. And sometimes sleep comes difficult. Now, that hasn't been my experience. My experience is I can go to sleep. I have fallen asleep. Sometimes, as soon as my wife and I, we lay there, we talk for a few minutes, we snuggle together. I love it. It's the most wonderful time of the day. And then, you know, she says goodnight. I say goodnight. We have a brief kiss. And then she turns over. And usually by the time I turn over, I'm gone. If I'm not gone before that. It's not falling asleep, it's staying asleep. And my eyelids haven't seen my eyelids have not stayed closed till 5 o'clock in I don't know how long. It's been 2:30, it's been 3, it's been 3:30, it's been 4. As soon as my eyes open, it's like the brain just phew. I'm trying to rein it in. I've told you in the past, you use the even the baseball thing hasn't worked. It just, and I just toss and toss and toss. And after a while, I get up and go downstairs because I don't want to wake her up. And sometimes I'd try to sleep on the couch and it's tough to sleep. And, let me say this to you. Be careful about your screens. Be careful about your computers, your laptops, your phone, your LED television sets, because a lot of research indicates that that kind of light decreases the natural production of melatonin in your body, and melatonin is the chemical that puts you to sleep. And when you're staring at that screen, from after dinner, 6 o'clock, at some form of a screen, some type of certain blue light, I haven't read extensively on it, but I've read a little bit about it. It literally makes it hard to go to sleep. So be careful. Be careful. And they make a natural sleep, melatonin in pill form where you can take it. It might help. But I don't want to get addicted to anything, even natural stuff. I got one addiction. That's coffee. And I'm not going to break it. Everybody needs one. So mine is half calf now. I have weaned off half the caffeine. And I don't like all that flavored cream. Just give me some good old half and half in there, and that'll be good enough. So, now, sometimes there are times when rest is what your body needs. Rest. That's probably one of my needs right now. And my wife and I are still going to take advantage of the blessed gift you guys gave us. I'm not going away. It's just, I think by 2021 we'll be able to do that. It's just, I'm just kidding, but it's just not possible right now. I've got to be there tomorrow when the home health people come in and assess mom's condition. I've got to be there. And I think that's part of what was waving me over. Can I speak transparently? You have plans. And our last child is getting married. My wife and I are not fearing the empty nest. And you have plans, and those things kind of get blown up. It's not mom's fault. She didn't pull out in the car. The goofball did down there in Georgia. It just happened. She feels terrible too. It feels horrible. But it all has fallen on us. We're the only ones here. It's not my kids' responsibility. They got lives. They got children. So it's mine. And so, at some point in time, yes, we're going to go. And we might do a couple things just to, sightseeing. But we're just going to rest. And we live in a macho-themed world that accomplish and charge and consume and get it done. And sometimes you just run the battery down. And you got to get some rest. So he put him to sleep. And he slept again. So God gave him sleep. Number two, I want you to see this, that God gave him food. Yeah. God gave him food. Look at verse number 5. The angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. But how most men like that? Yeah. In verse 6, behold, there was a cake baking on the coals. It was probably a good carrot cake or something like that. Cruise of water in his head. He did eat and drink. He did eat and drink. And then verse number 7, a second time the angel says, arise and eat because the journey is too great for thee. Verse 8, he rose and did eat and drink. So this is two or three references here to eat and drink, eat and drink, eat and drink. And he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. Now, often when emotions are spent, you don't feel like eating. But you need to eat. I remember down in Georgia at the rehab place with the week I was preaching at Jay Reed's and able to go up in the daytime and be there with Mom a little bit. I was learning about things to do with her and how to do it, how to get her in and out and so forth. And Chris, the physical therapist, great guy, he said to me, he said, hey, he said, what your mom needs to do is eat. She needs to eat. She didn't feel like eating. We got back here to see the doctor last Monday. He said, Amanda, you need to eat. He said, eat ice cream. When's the last time you had a doctor tell you to eat ice cream? Eat ice cream. You need calories. I haven't had a doctor tell me that yet. That's worth getting depressed for, just to hear the doctor say, eat some ice cream. But the truth of the matter is, you get under it, you get under these waves, and you don't want to eat. I'm not hungry. But you need the strength that comes. You see what he said in verse number 7? You need to arise and eat because the journey is too great for thee. And folks, sometimes when you're under it to the point of feeling depressed, your journey is pretty heavy. Maybe to the younger adults in this room tonight, you know, this is all kind of Greek. But you know, things change. So you need to eat. God, this is right out of Scripture. This is a guy who had just asked God to kill him. And so God gave him sleep, and then God gave him food. Number 3, God gave him a task. You'll see that in verse number 9 where he went to that cave. And by the way, I didn't put this in there, but he goes to a cave. What is a cave, folks? It's dark. I've said before, if you're struggling with depression or some form of it, get your shades open. Raise your blinds. Don't stay in a dark house all day long. It's not healthy. It's not good. So he goes to this cave and he lodges there, and the word of the Lord comes to him. Look at the question at the end of verse number 9. What doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah, what are you doing? Well, the truth of the matter is, Elijah was doing nothing. Love and jealous and so forth and so on. And God told him in verse 11, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Get out of the cave. Get out there where there's some light. And then verse number 13, it was so when Elijah heard it, that still small voice, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, stood at the entering of the cave, and there came a voice. Again, what doest thou here, Elijah? So God asked him again, what are you doing? You're doing nothing. You're sulking. And then in verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go, return, and on your way to the wilderness, when thou comest, anoint Hazael, do this. And then verse 16, anoint Jehu to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, I'm going to give you to be a prophet in your room. What did God do? God gave Elijah a task. And folks, it wasn't just busy work. It was work that had a purpose to it. It was work that needed to be done. And this is really what God took my mind to last Monday afternoon as I was laying there and I realized, this is not good. You can't go into this. And my mind ran to this passage and I remembered that God gave Elijah something to do. And I lay there and I thought about something around the house that just simply had to be done. It needed to be done before winter set in. And I rolled my feet out of that bed. I was just laying on top of the covers. Rolled my feet off of that bed, put my shoes on, got my coat, went outside and got something done with purpose. You don't need to medicate yourself out of depression. Work your way out of it. Work your way out of it. I don't feel like it. Well, I'm not sure Elijah really felt like it. But he got up and did it anyway. When you're depressed, and I'm not talking about surface stuff. I'm talking about when you start to dive into that dark period where it's hopeless. There are things that you can do. You can get some sleep. You can get some food. You can get a task with purpose. Number four, the fourth thing God did for Elijah was God gave him help. He gave him help. He said in verse number 16, I'm going to give you Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Now, God gave Elijah a different kind of help. He gave him a successor. He gave him an assistant. He gave him one who poured water on his hands. And I don't know that God will give you, when it comes to help, what He gave Elijah. But if you look, you may see ways that you can get help. And God provides those ways. You know, there are two types of people. There is the helpless person. That's the pitiful person who just can't bring themselves to do anything. And then there are those that need help. They're truly in a condition where they need a lift. And many times God gives that person another person to help them. Can I just admonish and challenge all of us tonight? If you're doing great and in the course of your day, as you're just meditating, thinking about things, God brings a brother or sister in Christ to your mind and just says, you know, hey, have you thought about them recently? They very well could be in need of some help. And just a phone call. How you doing? I'm okay. They're probably not going to unload on you. Well, you know, I don't know, for whatever reason, I was just thinking about you. Six words. I was just thinking about you. Can lift somebody's spirit. So God gave him some help. In my case, I thought about this a little bit Monday afternoon. Boy, has, you know, these men on staff and these ladies that work in the office, they have been outstanding during these weeks. Outstanding. They have taken care of things that came up that I wasn't even aware happened. Or I would hear about it. This is going on, but it's taken care of. This is going on, but we've already got it under control. This is happening, but we've already made contact, and this is already done. And I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. I can't tell you how much. And I'll tell you this much, and I'm not at liberty to go into this now. Maybe someday I might be able to. In an anonymous way, but I want to say to all of you folks who have teenagers in our school and our church youth group that if you are underestimating the wisdom and the knowledge that God has given to Brother Bragg and Brother Hall with these young people, you're making a big mistake. Huge. A person in this church just sat down with a man on staff here recently who is an adult now and went back with them to the teenage years and said, everything you called us out on that our mom and dad got mad at you about, you were right. Said, my parents believed every lie I told them. Hello? Y'all better listen. You know, these are not novice men anymore. They were novices when they came. But they're not novices anymore. They're seeing things. both good and bad. Seeing the potential, seeing the trouble areas. Some of you are blowing them off. You're making a huge mistake. You know, it's crazy to me that as the pastor of the church, I have on occasion said to each one of these men, when my children were in school, hey, how is my daughter doing? How's my kid doing? I have said to Brother Hall's dad, Mike Hall, when those five kids were at Providence, at some point in time, I said, Brother Mike, what do you see in my kids? Some parents have just the opposite attitude. Whatever you see in my kid, you're wrong. Because I'm their parent. Like, you're this little god that's been put in their life. Nobody else is privy to anything but you. That's amazing. You folks with young kids better be listening right now to what I'm saying. Because if they stay here, you've got a great, great benefit in these men and what God has given them in the way of 10 years of experience of working in a situation. Have they made mistakes? Who hasn't? I probably am more privy to what they've made mistake-wise than you are. Okay? But I'm telling you something. Be careful. Be very, very careful. God gave him some help. And if you are in a condition of depression, if you look around, God's probably going to bring some person, or it may not be a person, it may just be some event or some happening or something into your life that will help you. God does that. So God gave him sleep, God gave him food, God gave him a task, God gave him help. And then if I could say number five tonight, God gave him truth. Because look at verse number 18. You know, he goes on two times here in this process, and Elijah twice has said, Lord, you know, I've been very jealous, and I am the only one that has experienced anything like this. And folks, if you're not careful, when you get into the wave of difficulty, you really come to the place where you think to yourself, I'm all alone. Nobody else has had this experience. And that's simply not true. God told Elijah in verse number 18, hey, by the way, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Elijah, you are not alone. There's 7,000 like you. I call it the Tigger mentality. I'm the only one. Most wonderful thing about Tiggers. Tiggers are a wonderful thing. And I can't remember the rest of it. And I'm the only one. Huh? And it's simply not true. You're not the only one. Somebody has gone through this before. Somebody went through it successfully. Somebody stayed out of the condition of depression. Somebody got through it. There's somebody somewhere who hasn't bowed the knee to that kind of thing and hasn't succumbed to it. And that's just the truth, folks. It's just the truth. So if somebody else made it, you can too. You can too. And so he gave him sleep. He gave him food. He gave him a task, a purposeful task. He gave him some help. He gave him truth. These are things right here in this passage that God did for a man who just requested death. Now, I don't know how much lower than that you can get. Kill me. Take my life. And God in His mercy didn't answer that prayer. Aren't you glad God doesn't answer every prayer? He said, you're going to get some sleep. And you need to eat, even though you don't feel like it. And here's a purposeful task. And I'm going to get this guy to help you. And Elijah, others have done it. Others have done it. And it may not be that any of us need all five of those things. It could just be, for me, it was one. It was remembering that God gave Elijah something to do. Roll out of bed and get busy. That's what helped me. And the service that we had here Wednesday night. Boy, we had a sweet service Wednesday night. Whew, I'm telling you. And it was after that Monday thing that I came to that realization about that truth in Ecclesiastes and got on my life and thanked God for my life as it is now. Right now. The good, the bad, and the indifferent. I don't need a bottle of pills. They're going to mess up all my organs. Put me in a mental state. Now look, if you're taking medicine, I'm not down. I'm just saying, you don't have to have medication to get out of depression. Identify it, and then look for these things that God gave Elijah. And whatever you need, do it. And it works. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening tonight. Different type message, but it's what God wanted me to bring. Father in heaven, I just pray that you'll bless the message from your word. I don't know, Lord, what person in the building needed it tonight, what person in the building needs it for down the road. But I pray that you will minister to every heart. I thank you for what we read in your word, how clear it comes to us. And I just pray for people in this church. Lord, I don't always know who is battling that monster. It's a darkness. It's a darkness. And we know, God, that you are light. And I pray that you'll help us. I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room tonight. When they hit that, if they hit it, when they hit it, that God, you will remind them of this passage and these things. And Lord, I know that you will do for us, you've done for us, what you did for Elijah. Encourage the hearts of your people tonight as only you can. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If anybody needs to be saved or baptized, that invitation is always open. The altar's open tonight for a few moments if you want to use it to ask the Lord to help you to remember these things. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you for your book. It's powerful. It's helpful. It just helps us. It's right where we are. It's very relevant. And God, thank you that when we need it, the Holy Spirit brings it to our minds, ministers to our hearts from it. Help us to receive it with humility and so that it can help us. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.